Starting here on the top of Chof Chedem and Aleph by the two dots, the Gemara is continuing the sugya that we saw yesterday that started with Amar Rav Yehuda Mishum Rav Yitzchak Ben Pinchas Ein Shechita the Of Min HaTorah. But there is no Shechita for an Of Min HaTorah, it's only a Din D'Rabbonon. So on that, the Gemara now asks, Tashma, Malak B'Sakin, a person who cuts the head from behind with a knife. Mitamei B'Gadim HaBeit HaBliyah. The person who swallows or eats such a Nevelah will be metame the bigadim when they put it goes through to their throat. So that assumes that it's now a nevela. If it's a nevela, that assumes that whatever you did now was problematic and did not create a process of shechita. And that's what the Gemara says. Iyamart ein shechita lof min haTorah. If you say that there's no din of shechita from the of min haTorah, nehi nami dechi tover le shidra umafreket, even though he breaks the spine and the neck bone, havi le treifa, then it becomes a treifa, as long as you haven't gone through roba basar. We saw that earlier in the Masechta. If he also does Rova Basar, then it's dead immediately, and then it would be in the vague law according to everyone. Here he didn't do Rova Basar. He's cutting with the knife through. And Dahani le Sakin le Tarami de Nevela. The Sakin, once it hits, the Simanim should at least be sufficient to take it away from being a Nevela. True, it'll be a Treifa, and as Rashi points out, even Rabbi Yitzchak is molded later on in the Masechta that there is Treifot by Oath. There are Treifot by Oath, it just don't require Shechita. If you don't require Shechita, you just need to cut through the Simanim. Over here, he will be successful at cutting through the simanim. Yes, he went from the back with the knife. That's okay. There's no requirement of shechita. So why do I end up with a nevela instead of a treifa? If that's the case, sounds like there is shechita min haTorah. If there is shechita min haTorah, then what you're doing now is not shechita, and that's why you end up with a nevela and not a treifa. Because shechita is metaher midei nevela. Shechita has the ability to take away the tumat nevela, even though it's not matirit ba'achila, even though it doesn't permit you to eat it. That's why a treifa, if you shecht it, is not an nevela. So do over here. If you believe that there's shechita, the of min haTorah, then what you did by cutting with the knife in the back is not called shechita, and that's why you end up with a nevela. On the other hand, if you believe there's ain't shechita, the of min haTorah, when you cut from behind, you make it into a treifa, but when you cut through the simanim, then you end up with something that remains a treifa. You've done the shechita that's required min haTorah. That's just to cut the simanim, not to do a shechita. If that's the case, you should end up with a treifa, not a nevela. The fact that over here it says it's a nevela, that's problematic for this shita. Huda marki haitamo. He holds like this other tanya. The tanya. Rabbi Elazar HaKapar Rebbe Omer. Ma tom lo omer. The pasuk says, ach kashe yechelet atzvi v'atayal. When it's talking about this parsha in Dvarim. V'chi ma lamadnu mitzvi v'ayal. What do we learn out from mitzvi v'ayal? Why are tzvi and ayal compared to Psulei HaMikdoshim, which is the other parsha that's there. Psulei HaMikdoshim are a korbanot that gets mumim in them and then need to be redeemed. And they're left over from the Mukdashim, they're called Psulei HaMikdoshim. There's a machloket, whether that's talking about Psulei HaMikdoshim or Basar Tava, or just regular Shechita and meat. But over there, there's a comparison, at least between Tzvi Ayal and Psulei HaMikdoshim. Harei Zeh Bava Lameid, it comes to teach us something, Nimtza Lameid, and also learn something. Mekish Tzvi Ayal and Psulei HaMikdoshim. It compares or has a hekesh between Psulei HaMikdoshim and Tzvi V'Ayal. Ma Psulei HaMikdoshim b'shechita, just like Psulei HaMikdoshim requires shechita, because the word b'shachat is explicit by korbanot and by kodoshim. Av Tzvi V'Ayal b'shechita, so too at Tzvi V'Ayal, which are chayot, also require shechita. V'of, ein lo shechita midivrei Torah, el midivrei sofrim. But a bird, because here we're talking about Tzvi V'Ayal, the chayot required, behemot required, but ofot do not require it. And based on that, we have now a Deya in the Tanaim, which is Rabbi Elazar HaKapar, who says that there is no din of Shechita de Of Min haTorah, not in Torah Shebichtav and not in Torah Shebal Peh. It's all Midivrei Sofrim, it's all a Din Dirabonon. Since it's a Din Dirabonon, that's who Rabbi Yitzchak is going to hold like. Rabbi Yitzchak ben Pinchas is going to say, Ein Shechita de Of Min haTorah, he'll hold like this Tana. If he holds like this Tana, it's okay. We found a Tanaic work that argues over here by the Malach Pasakin. That's according to the Tanaim who believe that there is Shechita de Of Min haTorah. But we have a Tana that supports him, and he'll hold like that Tana. Now, who are the Tanaim that argue? Mantana de Paligale, the Rabbi Elazar HaKapar. Who argues on Rabbi Elazar HaKapar? Right here it says Rabbi. It's Rabbi who argues on him. We're going to bring in a second the Braita of Rabbi. Those who point out, truthfully, he could have said it was Bar Kaparohi, who we had earlier in the Gemara, that also said that there is Shechita min haOf min haTorah. But the Gemara here wants to have it be Rabbi, because then Rabbi will be the author of Mishnayot, and that makes more sense. And that's what he says to Tanya. This is a braita that we've seen earlier in the Masechta. Rabbi Omer, V'zavachta kasher tziviticho, says about the Basar Tava and the Parsha in Devarim. When it says, Zavachta kasher tziviticho, you will do the zvicha like I taught you, or like I commanded you. What is kasher tziviticho? What did Hashem tell him? Lamed, shenitztaveh Moshe ala veshet velakaneh varov echad ba'of varov shnayim bebeima. Means that Moshe was taught about how to do shchita, the veshet and the kaneh, the simanim, that need to be cut, arov echad ba'of, that it's sufficient to rove by the oaf, v'arov shnayim bebeima, and it requires a rove of two in order to be kasher by beima. And those are all halachot l'Moshe misinai. But if they're halachot l'Moshe misinai, they're Torah shebal peh, there's still a din d'oraita that you require shchita by oaf. And that's what Rabbi says. Tosfot over here mentions something that we've seen earlier in the Tosfot before, which is Yesh Mefarshim, the Dorish Bigamatria. Where does he learn it out from? Where's the hint to this in the Pasuk? So the Pasuk says, V'achta ka'asher tziviticha. So the word ka'asher, we say the word ka'asher, aleph, the letter aleph in ka'asher means echad both, that you need one siman both. The shin means shnayim bebeima, and the reish means rubo shel echad kemo. The robe of a siman is equivalent of cutting a full siman. That's how it's hinted to here in the Torah. The other thing that he mentions that it's Roshei Tevot of Mafreya. That if you take Ka'asher backwards and you read the letters backwards, it says the Reish Shin Aleph say Rubo Shalachad Kamohu. So if you go backwards and read the letters backwards, it says Rubo Chad Shalamohu. Like the robe of one siman is the equivalent of a whole siman. So the Tosfos here is mentioning hints to the fact that the Hilchot Shchita, the Torah Shebaal Peh, is mentioned in the Torah Bichtav, and they use the Roshei Tevot of Ka'asher to indicate that that is the case. Right now the Gemara continues. Achad ba'of. We mentioned in the Mishnah that one siman by an oaf is sufficient. Itmar. Rav Nachman Amar, o veshet, o kaneh. Rav Nachman says it's sufficient either to shech the veshet or the kaneh. You can choose. Whichever one of the simanim you want to cut, that is sufficient. On the other hand, Rav Adar ba'avar Amar, veshet velo kaneh. You must shech the veshet. That's the only thing that makes a kosher ba'of, but the kaneh will not suffice. Rav Nachman Amar, o veshet, o kaneh, echad tani. He says, very simple. It says one in the Mishnah, and echad koltu, whichever one you choose. Pick whichever you want, the kaneh, the veshet, either one is sufficient. Rabbi Baba Amar, veshet velo kaneh, he says the esophagus and not the windpipe, mai, echad, because when the Mishnah says echad, it means miyuchad, the unique one, the special one, the one that has the life force in it. As Rashi points out, we know that by treifot, by the veshet, if you have even a small puncture, any hole in it, that's enough to make it a treifa. On the other hand, by a kaneh, by the windpipe, it's only a treifa if the robe is missing. So you see that the veshet is much more sensitive to being cut, and therefore that's the miyuchad, that's the one that you need to cut for the birds. So meitave, shachatet veshet v'achar kach nishmita hagargeret, you shechted the esophagus, and afterwards the windpipe slipped away, k'sheira. Nishmita hagargeret, on the other hand, if the windpipe dislocated, and then afterwards he shucks the esophagus, psula, because then it was already problematic before you did the shkita, meaning that the dislocation of the windpipe makes it into a psula before, or trefa, before you ever get a chance to do the shkita. He did the shkita on the esophagus, and after the fact, he realizes that the windpipe is dislocated. He's unsure. We don't know when it happened. We had a case like this. Suffolk in the process of shkita is psula, because until this point, the animal was asur. And you're trying to be matir the animal through shkita. So if there's a problem in the process of shkita, we assume that it remains asur. After the shkita is complete, and we assume that the shkita went through okay, then we say, okay, the chazok of the animal is kshera, and now if you want to post it, you got to bring proof. So the suffix will be the hechsher after the fact. But here, where it's before the fact, we're not sure of when the severing or the dislocation of the windpipe happened, we're going to go to chumrah and say that it's not a good shkita. Now over here, the breita that we just quoted, the tosefta that we just quoted, only has one scenario. The scenario is the cutting of the veshet. Why isn't there a scenario where you cut the gargaret, where you cut the windpipe, and then afterwards the esophagus slips out? Why is there only a one-sided example? That sounds like the position of Rada Ba'aba, that you've only cut through the veshet. Mar says, V'ilu b'shchita b'gargeret lo k'tani. Why don't you write that? Mar says, v'shum de gargeret avida l'ishtimute. Just a practical consideration, that in general, the esophagus does not dislocate or detach. The windpipe does. Windpipe, which is a much more solid item, has a tendency to dislocate or detach. The esophagus, which is made out of softer, more pliable material, that it generally does not detach. So the Tosefta brought us examples of practical cases, cases when it would be true like that. So Tashma, expert, Shochat Shnei Chatzei Simanim. If you cut two halves of a Simanim, Ba'of, Psula. Ben Tzarech Lamar, Behema. By an oaf, it's no good. Certainly by Behema, it's no good. Rav Yehuda Omer, Ba'of, Ad Shichot, Et Veshet, Ve'et Avridim. Rav Yehuda says you have to cut the Veshet and the Avridim. So now you see from here that when we're talking about the one that has to be done, Rabbi Yehuda says you have to do the Veshet and the Vridim. Why did he only mention the Veshet? If either one of them is sufficient in this case, why can't he just do one, the Kaneh, or the Veshet, and then cut the Vridim? Why does Rabbi Yehuda say only the Veshet? The answer is because Mishum the Veshet, some of the Vridim. It's just an issue of anatomy. When you cut through to the Vridim, you want to get to those veins and those arteries that have the blood in the neck. The Veshet, the esophagus, happens to be closer to them. You first have the Kaneh, you have the windpipe in front, then you have the esophagus, then you have the Vridim, which are adjacent or slightly behind them. So it makes more sense that when you're going to cut one Siman, that you would cut the Veshet along with the Vridim. True, you could do the Kaneh as well, it's just not going to be as close to the Vridim. If you're going to cut the Vridim, it just makes sense that the one Siman that you would pick would be the Veshet. So again, a practical consideration. Tashma. Shachat chatzi gargeret, v'shaha kedei shchita acher, gamar shchita to kishera. He cuts through half the windpipe, then he waits. Another amount of time that he can done a full another shchita, which would be the equivalent of shia, the problem of shia, which Allah l'moshe misinai is the problem of shchita. Then he finishes the shchita, in that instance it's a kshera. Why is it kshera in this instance? So the problem is that only if it becomes a trefa do you have a problem with the shia. Over here, when you cut through half of the windpipe, the half of the windpipe does not make it into a trefa yet. So now when you stopped, you've done nothing to the animal. The animal's still alive and is fine. When you cut the next time, that's when you do the shchita. So there's no problem with shia because the first cutting was not part of the shchita process. It's only in the second cutting that it's become shchita. So over here, the shchita is kshira. But nevertheless, what do you see? My lavo, we're talking about a bird, and you're seeing that he's cutting through the gargaret. He's cutting through the windpipe. So if that's the case, it seems to be like Rav Nachman, that you could also cut through the windpipes. Mar says, Ma gamra, gamra the gargaret. Which says he finishes up the shkita later, he finishes cutting through the windpipe. It says, though, no, we're talking about a behema. And we're talking about gamra here, is gamra the shkita kula. Not just that he finished up the windpipe, he finished up the windpipe and the esophagus. We have no proof from here. In a behema, everybody agrees you need tusi money. So that's why they're mentioning the gargaret. Tashma. You have a windpipe that is already half broken. I mean, it's already open in half of it. And then you would add a small amount afterwards, and you finish it off, then your shkita is kshira. My laba of, again, what's the assumption here? We're talking about an oaf, and you need one siman. By cutting just a little bit more, you've hit rove, and that's why everything's going to be fine over here. My gamro, gamro the kanet. He finishes off cutting the windpipe. Lo! No, we're talking about a case of vema. We're talking about an animal. My gamro, gamro the veshet. He continued to do the second siman, and that's how he made it kashir. Tashma, look at this braita. Which is, Ketzad Mokim Chatatov. How do you do Malika when it comes to Chatatov? Chotech Shidra Umafreket below Rova Basar. You come from behind with the thumb, with the nail, and you cut through the spine and the neck bone without Rova Basar. Again, we're mentioning this before, we said if you have Rova Basar, it becomes an Evala, it's instantly dead, and whatever you do afterwards is irrelevant. But if you cut through below Rova Basar, you make it a Trefa, and as long as you're in the process of doing Malika or in the process of doing Shchita, then everything is okay. Until he gets to either or of the simanim, either the esophagus or the windpipe, he cuts one of those simanim. At that point, he can also continue through the rov basar, because now he's cut the siman, it's okay to cut the rov basar. You have to cut through both simanim, or at least rov of those simanim. This is pretty straightforward here. That either one of the simanim is sufficient. When you go do malika, it can either be the windpipe or the esophagus, you pick. Either one is sufficient to coup shech the bird. Over here, the shechting of the bird in kochim is malika. And you see, by malika, it can either be a kaneh or veshet. So a very strong question against Rav Adar Ba'abo. Sounds like Rav Nachman, that you can do either or. And that's what we see. It's a tyufta on Rav Adar Ba'abo. My havi Allah. Mari wants to know, what's the halacha? I says, what do you mean, my havi Allah? Kidam art. You just said, we have a huge question on Rav Adar Ba'abo that would prove that the halacha is like Rav Nachman. Where it says, Dilma Shani Yotam. Maybe it's different by Malika. By Malika, maybe the din is different than Shchita. Why? Because Dika Shidro Mafrekit. You're coming from the back. And when you've already broken the spine and through the neck, maybe that weakens the bird enough that either one of the simanim will be sufficient. But that's because you're coming from behind. But in the case of Shchita, when you come from the front and you're only cutting the siman, maybe it won't be sufficient to just cut the kanet. Maybe you need to cut the veshet. So what's the din? Taushma. We have a case. How about Avza, the Hava Bay Rava? They had this bird, this goose, that was by Rava. Atak Kimasmes Koe Dama. They brought it when its throat was had blood coming out of it. Around the throat, around the area of the throat, there was blood coming out, or they saw stains of blood. Amarova Echinabit. What are we going to do with this animal? Exactly what the problem with the neck is. Rashi claims over here that It wasn't a case of Suffolk Drusa. We're not worried about an animal that was Doresit. We weren't worried about a cat that came in as Doresit. We'll see later on in Eilat Shreifot. That brings in other complications to the story. And since we don't think it's a Suffolk Drusa, we think either got by Kanya or by Kalba, got by a dog or a Kanya caused the problem over here. We need to check to see if it's a Treifa. We don't automatically assume that there's a problem of Tarfut. And we don't assume that we can't check for it. And that's what Tosfos points over here. The Nafkamina of whether it's done by a cat or not a cat is, Nafkamina, Idavatalina Bishunra, if we thought it was a cat, you would have to check not just the neck area, but the entire cavity of the body. Even though there's no reuta, even though we only see a problem near the simanim, nevertheless, you have to check the whole thing. That is drusa. Animals that are dores, we assume they do a lot more damage than is visible on the outside. Inami, by drusa, we'll make a larger assumption. We find one of the simanim has a little tiny red spot on it, we'll assume the worst. And we'll assume that it's punctured, and we post-sell it right away. On the other hand, if it's not a drusa, we'll have to do more careful checking to make sure there really is a hole over there. So, in general, we are more machmir when it comes to issues of drusa. We'll be much more machmir than we would in cases that it's not. So Rashi claims that the case here is not a case of subject drusa. On the other hand, Tosfos brings the opinion of the Riva, and in the opinion of the Riva, we are talking about a case of subject drusa over here. And that is exactly enough gamina between a drusa and not. If it's a drusa, if it was grabbed by an animal that's dores, like a cat, then we cannot check it from the outside. And that's the case we're going to see in a second, that you can't check the esophagus from the outside because they can do damage that's not visible on the outside. On the other hand, if it's something that was not drusa, something that causes damage but not that type of dores that it digs in and gets deep into the animal, in that case, we'll say that you can check from the outside. And therefore, the Riva does claim that the case here is drusa. So that's a machloket here between Rashi and the Riva. Rashi believes the case here is not a case of specific drusa. And then the Riva does believe that it's a case of Savek Drusa, something that we will get to and spend a lot more time on when we get to Eilat Shreifot. Either way, Amar Rava Hechanavit, what we're going to do in this case, Nishchate, if we checked it now, Vahadar Nivdake, and then we check it afterwards, Dilba Makom Nekev Kashachit. The problem is that maybe we shechted it in a place where exactly where the Nekev was already. So you can't, if you shecht it and check afterwards, you might have run over the place where there was a Nekev and won't know that it was a Treifa. So now what are you going to do? Nivdake, Vahadar Nishchate. So what are you going to do? Check it first. And then shecht it. Hamarabo, we have a din that Rabba said, Veshit enlo b'dika mi b'chutz elo mi b'fnim. You can't check the esophagus from the outside, we can only check it from the inside because of the difference in color. The problem is that the outside is red, and therefore when you have a hole or any marking on it, it's not noticeable. Whereas on the inside, there's a lining that's white. So if you turn it inside out, the esophagus, you can see any marks of blood, any problems on the inside, because they'll show up as red against the white background. You can only check it from the inside. If you're going to do that, the animal's dead. If you turn out the esophagus inside out, the animal's already dead. You can't check it before you do the ishchita. So Amalei Rav Yosef Bray, his son Rav Yosef made a suggestion. Niftake the kaneh. Let us check the windpipe. V'nishchatai the kaneh. Then we'll shech the kaneh the chashrei. Then we'll make it kosher. V'hadar avchula veshet. Then we'll take out the esophagus and flip it inside out. V'liftake, and we can check it after the fact. Because the kaneh, which is hard, number one, can be checked by feeling it on the outside. And number two, the psul by the kaneh, the psul by the windpipe, is rove. It's not a mashu. It has to be a rove. So that's something that is discernible from the outside. So you'll check the windpipe, shecht it in the windpipe. After that, then you can go into the animal, take out the esophagus, and do a full check on the esophagus and inside out. So Rava said about him, Amarava, Chokim Yosef Bri, Betreifot, Rabbi Yochanan. My son Rabbi Yosef is a genius in Treifot. He's wonderful in Treifot, like Rabbi Yochanan. Now, like Rabbi Yochanan, Rashi brings down two pshatim about what it is. Either like Rabbi Yochanan in Treifot, that Rabbi Yochanan was a bucky in Treifot, and Rabbi Yosef, his son, is like Rabbi Yochanan, or Rabbi Yochanan was a bucky in Kol HaTorah Kula. So my son, Rabbi Yosef, is a bucky in Treifot, like Rabbi Yochanan is, b'Kol HaTorah Kula. Alma, what you conclude from this is very clear, that Echad Dekamar, Ohai, Ohai. It's clear from this story, it's a Maisa Shahai, you're talking about Rabbi Zabatra, that it's very clear that you can do either one. You can shecht either the kaneh, the windpipe, or the esophagus, because the suggestion of his son, Yosef, was to shecht the kaneh and then check the esophagus. So it's clear that they're shechting with the kaneh, and that is like Rav Nachman, and that's the halacha. The halacha is like Rav Nachman, that either one of the simanim is sufficient. Amar Rav Chista, now we're talking about Rav Yehuda in the Mishnah. Rav Yehuda says you must shecht not only the siman, but you must also shecht the vridim. Now Rav Chista comes to limit this position of Rav Yehuda and says, Lo Amar Rav Yehuda leva'of. Yehuda's statement is only true by birds. Because people generally, when they cook the birds, they broil them, they put them on the rotisserie, they roast them as one unit. When you come to an animal, came into menatchos, aver, since you cut it up into limbs, lo tzarich. As you cut it up into limbs, that allows the blood to flow out, allows the blood to be freed. On the other hand, the bird, which doesn't have that opportunity, and doesn't have the ability to be cut up, because many people cook them as a single unit, if that's the case, then we worry about the blood being trapped inside. Therefore, we require that you cut through the simanim, as well as the vridim, in order to free the blood. So the memra, the time of the Rav Yehuda Mishum Damu. The conclusion from Chista's statement is that the cutting of the vridim is not a din in shchita, but rather a din in blood. Vatnan, our Mishnah says, Rav Yehuda Mer, ad shishchot et avridim. You must do shchita on the vridim. Shchita is a very technical term. Shchita is the way that you are matir an animal through the process of the killing of the animal. So if shchita is mentioned by vridim, you're talking about the technical hechsher of the animal, and that means that it's part of the shchita process. It's not something that's independent of it. So Ema, so now reread it this way. Ad shina kev et avridim. Until they put a hole in the vridim. Umay ad shishchot. What does it mean, ad shishchot? Ad shin kov b'shat shchita. That at the time of shchita that you have to make the hole. So the din by the vridim is that you have to puncture them so that the blood gets out. It's not a din in shchita. It doesn't have the din of shchita. It's simply that it have to be punctured. Ah, why is it mentioned here? It's mentioned in the process. While you're doing shchita, you should puncture the vridim. So Gemara says, okay, what about this? We have a tashma, vridim b'shchita, divrei Rav Yehuda. It's much even more explicit. The vridim requires shchita. That's what Rav Yehuda says. Gemara says, again, amended to read, ema vridim tzarich l'nakvan b'shat shchita. You have to put a hole in them at the time of shchita, divrei Rav Yehuda. So tashma, another proof. Amru lo the Rav Yehuda, me'achar shlo uzgru vridim, elo tzi mehen dam, malish shchita, malish lo b'shchita. If the vridim are only being cut because of removing the blood, why does it matter if they're done at the time of shchita or not shchita? Michlau, the inference from here is the Rav Yehuda sarv shchita, that they do require shchita. The fact that the Rabbanan are asking about him, about the vridim, and say, yeah, you need them to remove the blood, what does that have to do with shchita? Shchita is the process to make the animal kasher, to be edible. The vridim, are they taking the dam out of the animal? Those are two separate issues. Why are you connecting the two of them? The implications are that Rav Yehuda does connect them and says that the cutting of the vridim is part of the shchita process. The answer is, Sachi kamreila, mali nakvan b'shat shchita, mali nakvan shlo b'shat shchita. According to your understanding, if it's just to remove the dam, why does it matter if I do it at the time of shchita? Why does it matter if I do it not at the time of shchita? V'hu sover and Rabbi Yehuda holds b'shat shchita ati dam dechayim. Shlo b'shat shchita lo ata dam dekarir. The problem is that at the time of shchita, the blood is still warm and it's still pulsating. And therefore, when you cut it at the time of shchita, the blood will come out of the animal. You'll be efficacious in removing the blood from the animal. On the other hand, if you wait till after the shchita when the blood cools down, that will not be as efficacious because the blood will slow down. It will not be as viscous. It will not move as easily. And therefore, the blood will not come out of the bird so easily. So therefore, Rav Yehuda says, do it at the time of shchita. Not literally as a part of shchita, but do it at the time of shchita, because that's when it's the most effective, and that's why you need to cut the vridim at the time of shchita. Now, by Rabbi Yirmiyah. Rabbi Yirmiyah asked this question, as Rashi points out, it's obviously that he didn't know what Rav Chista had said, that Rabbi Yehuda limited his din to ofot, and his din of vridim is only about dam. You'll see from Rabbi Yirmiyah's question that vridim, the Rabbi Yehuda, shabehen, daras behen mahu. If he does one of the psulim in shchita, what's the din? If he does shia, he waits in them in the middle, or he pushes through them instead of going melech and maybe going back and forth, what's the din? Meaning the implications are clearly that he thinks you need to do a proper shchita on the vridim. So Amalei Hahu Saba, Hachi Amar Rabbi Elazar. So one elderly man said back to him, this is what Rabbi Elazar said about this. And some Amri Lo. The alternative is Amar Lo Hahu Saba the Rabbi Elazar, Hachi Amar Rabbi Yochanan. That this Saba, this elderly gentleman said to Rabbi Elazar, this is what Rabbi Yochanan said. Menakvan Bekot, Sven Ksherim. You can puncture them with a needle, with a thorn, and they are Ksherim. So what does that show you? That shows you that the din is not a din in shchita, it's a din in removing the blood. So obviously we know that already from Rav Chista's din. Rav Yirmiyah wasn't aware of that, what Rav Chista said. So therefore he's asking, do the dinei shchita apply to the vridim? The answer is no, because you can cut them any way you want. You can release the dam from the vridim in any way possible. Now we have Tanya Kavote. We have a braita that supports this position of Rav Chista. The shachat shnei chatzei simanim. Somebody does shchita on two halves of the simanim, ba'ov pasul. Again, you didn't leave a rov siman. You need at least one rov siman in the bird. So you did half of each siman, that's not enough. Now obviously with a hema, when you need two simanim, for sure it's not enough. You have to do it until you do shchita on the veshet and the vridim. But what do you see Rabbi Yehuda said over here? Rabbi Yehuda specified and said that it's only by of. He says, be'of, and of, it's not just enough for shchita, you need vridim. So that's what Rav Chista said. Rav Chista narrowed Rav Yehuda's position to, only by birds. And the implications of that are because of the blood issue. So that tells us also that's not a din of shechita, that's a din of removal of the blood. But we do see here the Braita confirming Rav Chista's distinction within Rav Yehuda, that's a din in ofot, a din in birds, not a din in behema. Okay, we're going to begin the next sugya. And then after that, we'll continue with this sugya and tomorrow's daf as well, which is chatzi echad ba'of. Bikshechs, a half a siman and oaf, it's not kasher, itmar. Rav amar meksa, meksa kirov. Rav says when you have a 50-50, it's just like a rov. Kan amar meksa, meksa in a kirov. 50 and 50 is not like a rov. So our havamina now is that they said this by shkita. So over here now, I just cut through half a siman. If I cut through half a siman, it should be like rov. If it's like rov, it should be sufficient to be kasher. So that's Gemara is going to explain their positions and ask that question. Rav amar meksa, meksa kirov. Rav says that 50-50 is like a rov. Hachi amar le rachmono the Moshe. The Torah, the halacha of Moshe, we see now to Moshe was, lo tishaya ruba. That you have to make sure that there's not a robe that remains that's not nishkat. As long as there's a robe that doesn't remain that's not nishkat, then fine. Rav Kahana amar meksa, meksa enu kirov. It's not like a robe. Hachi kamar le rachmono the Moshe. The halacha of Moshe is like this. Shchot ruba. You must actively shech the robe. Now the Gemara asks on the position of Rav, it's not. Chatzi achad bov, vechad vechetzi beimashkit to psula. Iamart, if you say meksa, meksa kirov, am I pasul? Why should it be pasul? Aver they rove. You did the rove already. Rav says, no. Rav, that's a din d'oraita. Mi d'rabonon. That's a din d'rabonon. Dimlo at l'meved pauga. We're worried about allowing you to get to the 50 point, the 50 yard line. Because if you only go to the 50 yard line, we're afraid that you're not going to really get there. And since we're afraid you're not going to get there, we want to make sure you do a rove to be certain that you got through. But ain't ochanan mi d'oraita, mina Torah, 50% is enough. So what's the nafkamin? Nafkamin is for a neveva. If you got to 50%, it will be good enough to remove the tumat nevela, but will not be good enough for you to eat it, because the rabbanon say it's not enough. So the din, the rabbanon will make it into a trait for, make it into a problem that it won't be a good shechita, so you can't eat it. On the other hand, midoraita, you crossed over the 50-yard line by getting to the 50-yard line, and it will be kasher, will not be tumat nevela. So that's the nafkamina, but that's the din, our mishnah that talks about chatziyacha, that's all a din, the rabbanon, that's not a din, the oraita. So amar of katina, tashma. Chalkolishnayim, he splits it in half, vein shavin. This is talking about a tanur, it's talking about an oven of kli cheres. The only way to remove the tumah from an oven of kli cheres is nitzas, to break it. But you have to break it into where the rove doesn't remain. The rove doesn't remain with either piece, and therefore each piece is not functional anymore, and that's why it loses its tumah. What happens if he cuts it in half exactly? Vein shavin. Shnehem tmeim, they both remain tamei. Lefish eif shel tzamtzeim. Because it's impossible to figure out exactly 50-50. So our assumption is that one part is really bigger. We just don't know which one is bigger. Since we don't know which one is bigger, then we make them both safek, tamei bin safek. They were already tamei. We're not going to remove the tumah unless we know for certain that there's a reason to remove it. So mi safek, they will both remain tamei. So that's also ha'efshal litzamtzeim. Had you been able to be mitzamtzeim, had you the ability to be exact in cutting them in half, then torim, they would have been tahor. That's against Rav again. 50-50 should become like rove. If the rove is there, it should be tamei. So why are you saying 50-50? You have a rove on each side, it should remain tamei. Why is it becoming tahor? So the one says, wait a minute, this case is different. Am I tarim? Zilachi karuba, zilachi karuba. If you go to each half, you have a rove, and they should remain tamei. So I'm a rapapa, trey rube, bechad manaleka. You can't say that. Here we're talking about two halves of an item. You can't go to one half and say that's the rove, and the other half and say that rove. It's an impossibility. It's illogical. You can't have a rove on both sides. In an instance where only one side is, in terms of halacha, is chashuv, then you could say one side is the rove, and the other 50% is the miut, because the other side is irrelevant. But in cases where the both sides are relevant, like the case of the oven, where it's important to know what the size of both sides are, you can't call both of them the rove. That's impossible. It's just a literal impossibility. You can't have a majority on two halves. So when it's possible, like by shchita, then all that matters is how much has been nishkat. So if I say the rove has been nishkat, then I'm fine now, because I got through 50%. We say the 50% that I need to do is done, and the remainder is irrelevant, so that becomes the miut, and we leave it behind. We can call one half the fifth rove, 150% the rove, and the other 50% the miut. But in cases where both 50% are significant, then we can't say about either one of them that they are the rove. So if something's halachically significant, then we can say about it that it's the rove. But if you have two sides that are halachically significant, then you can't call both of them the rove. So we'll have to distinguish between these cases. Okay, we'll stop here and we'll continue with this Gemara tomorrow. One thing to point out over here is a din or a question that the Gemara has in many places, which is Efshar the Tzamtzeim. Is it possible to be exact? The Gemara has a machloket, it's a machloket Tanaim, but whether one can be exact. Can you get to an exact 50-50 chiluk? Tosafot over here first suggests that the possibility is, or the distinction is, that efshel letzamtzem bidei adam. When it comes to man-made things or man-made actions, those things can be mitzamtzem. You can be exact about what you do. On the other hand, bidei shemayim, things that happen that are out of your control, that are in the hands of heaven, over there it's efshel letzamtzem. There we cannot know what the exact number is, and you can't be exact on the money. So now, that's one suggestion of Tosafot. Tosafot then backs away from that a little bit and says, maybe everybody holds efshel letzamtzem, that it's impossible to be exact, that we are choshesh, that in some cases you can be exact. I mean, that even though everybody agrees that it's not possible to be letzamtzem, nevertheless, in these cases, we worry about an instance where it would be exact. And since we worry about the case where it would be exact, therefore we have to be choshesh, that there's a suffik iser here, there's a suffik tumah. We have to worry about the issues that the possibility that it is. It's one of the many possibilities here. It's not that we know for certain, but it's just amongst the possibilities that could be here. Tosafot also mentions, even according to Rabbi Yossi, who believes that efshel letzamtzem, that it's impossible to be mitzamtzem, Rabbi Yossi over here by the Tanur agrees that that's the case. Because the Tanur has gumot and holes and back and forth, and therefore it's impossible. The cheres doesn't crack perfectly. And there are, even he agrees that even though he says you could do it exactly, by Tanur he agrees that you don't have to do it exactly. All right, Tosfos over here. It's a nice Tosfos of efshel letzamtzem. It's not the main area of the sugya. Talks about the different possibilities about efshel letzamtzem or efshel letzamtzem. That even according to one who says efshel letzamtzem, that's impossibly exact, there still is a possibility that it's 50-50. I mean, the possibility is one side is rove, the other side is the rove, or they're 50-50. We just don't know. And therefore, we have to account for all possibilities. In certain instances, where we'll say the possibility of it being 50-50 is so low that we won't consider it. So even though it's not possibly mitzamtzem, nevertheless, we'll ignore that possibility of being 50-50 because it's such a low probability. Okay, we'll stop over here.